Awesome. Hey, it is good to be here. We are the Mayfield family, and this is my wife, Karen, and as you saw a second ago, she's great, and I'm just Trey, okay? So my wife is the better half for sure. Hey, we're so excited to be here. We're just starting out Deputation, so we are just in week three, and so forgive me if I stumble around on my words, but I did just want to share my burden for Mexico while I'm here with you tonight. I look forward to getting to know some of you here over the next few days, so please come talk to us. We love people, and so come chat and ask any questions. We're going to have a time of Q&A after this, after I present our burden, so be thinking of some questions. We have some microphones out, and but at this time, I think we'll go ahead and play the video, and then we'll jump into the presentation after that.
Mexico is a land rich in history, culture, and tradition, but beneath that vibrant surface lies a profound need, the need for the gospel. Many in Mexico have deep roots in Catholicism, following a path that they believe leads to salvation through works, yet the true gospel declares salvation by faith alone. Recognizing this need, we are compelled to respond. I was blessed with the opportunity to grow up in a Christian home. I was saved at a young age, but it was in my college years studying business that I began to sense a desire for the people of Mexico. I didn't know what this meant or what God was doing, but it was in my senior year at Pensacola Christian College that I was faced with the question, you only have one life. What are you going to do with it? I began to sit through the church services and the chapels and hearing the preaching, and it seemed like every sermon preached was directed at me. It was then that God began to convict and convince my heart that he wanted me in full-time ministry. He confirmed this calling in my life through Bible study, and when I came across this passage, I couldn't get the words out of my mind when Paul said, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I have only got one life. I must make the most of it by taking the gospel to the people of Mexico.
Well, I was raised in a Christian home as well. My parents took us to church growing up. My great-grandparents were missionaries in Mexico, and they traveled from town to town preaching the gospel. It wasn't until the age of 12 that I understood that salvation is personal. And so I accepted Christ as my Savior. And soon after that, the Lord called me into full-time ministry.
Karen and I had started dating as I kind of fell in love with her, kind of fell in love with that people group. So we're excited to be able to go back to where her family's from. Our mission is to plant churches. We want to spread the message of the good news of salvation with those who have yet to hear it, then to see lives transformed by the power of the gospel. In Mexico City, we'll join the great work that God is doing there with veteran missionaries Josue and Rebecca Ortiz at Abundant Grace Baptist Church. As we begin, we will train alongside them while I reach fluency in the language and then learn from the church planting experience that they have and the wisdom they've gained.
After serving in Mexico City, we would love to go back to the town where my parents were born and raised in, Ciudad Valles, and begin planting churches there. Although my great-grandfather once ministered there, the need is still so great.
Ciudad Valles is a city of over 179,000 people. It's a dark place with a great need for healthy churches. Our vision is to see a lasting impact, a sort of ripple effect of discipleship and transformation. One of the ways we plan on building healthy churches is by eventually starting a Bible Institute where men can be educated, equipped, and trained to then go out and reproduce other healthy churches and so fulfill the Great Commission. Our dream is to see a network of local indigenous churches, each rooted in the truth of the gospel, each a shining light to the darkness around them. God hasn't called every believer to be a missionary on a foreign field, but he has called all of us to participate in missions. So whether your support be through prayer, or finances, or both, we'd love to be your fellow laborers in the gospel here in Mexico. We're excited to answer God's call on our lives to Mexico, knowing that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We only have one life. What are we going to do with it?
And hope that was a blessing. So that being said, we're excited to get to Mexico. It has been a sort of a long journey as my senior year of college was back in 2019, so I'm feeling a little old now, and so we're excited to be finally hitting the deputation road. When I graduated college with my marketing degree, I went back and I stayed there at Pensacola Christian College, and I was in the seminary, and so I graduated with my Master of Divinity degree, so that took 3 years, and then we traveled full-time year-round as representatives of the college for 2 years. So 5 years later, we are now finally making preparations, and we're here. We're on the road going to churches. And so our plan now is this. We're in this process called deputation. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of deputation. You know what that is? Okay, great. Lots of hands. I always have to ask because there's some people have no idea what that means. We're in the process of going to churches to seek out people who might partner with us in ministry. And so being from Fort Worth originally, my wife and I both were so excited to be able to partner with a church right here in our hometown and to, in a sense, be your extension on the field, representing Worth Baptist Church there in Mexico. So a little bit about our mission. Let's see if I can get to our slides here. Does that work? Okay, he's going to get it up for me, my friend Brian. And okay, awesome. And we went to school together, me and brother Brian back there. And so, okay, Mayfields to Mexico. The question first is, why Mexico? Like, aren't there enough missionaries? Have you ever met a missionary in Mexico before? Probably like everyone. Okay, so aren't there enough missionaries in Mexico? So why Mexico? Let me share just a little bit why I believe that it's important that we still need missionaries in Mexico. Number one, because God has called us there. Okay, God has a plan for our lives, just like God has a plan for your life. And he has a calling and a specific purpose of why you were created. And God's calling on your life is going to look different than the person next to you, right? So go where God has called you. And even though there are many missionaries in Mexico, God has called us there, so that's where we're going. And so as we believe that this is where God is leading us, well what else is there? Well, number two, there is a need. If you remember in Acts chapter 16, the Macedonian call, okay? Come and help us. There is a great need for the gospel to continue to go out in a place like Mexico, even a place that does have many missionaries, because there are still many, many unreached areas in Mexico. And we'll talk a little bit about where exactly we're going to be in a moment and what is the specific need there. But number three, we have a desire. Okay, we're excited to go. The Bible says this, if a man desireth the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. And so there is such thing as desiring certain things. And if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us those desires of our heart. And so as you and I, as Christians, as we're faithful to follow him, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we believe that as we are trying as best as we can to align our hearts with God and with what his mission is, that as he's called us there, with a need being there, we sure are excited to get there. Like I said kind of quickly in my video, that is where Karen's parents are from. And when we started dating, it's funny how God will use the significant other in your life. And I had sort of a burden for Mexico, but when I met Karen and to hear her story and to hear how her great-great-grandfather would ride from town to town on the back of a donkey preaching the gospel, I was like, wow, that is really cool. But what sealed the deal for me was when she said, man, I would love to do that someday. I said, sign me up. Okay, this is great. And that's a good girl for me. And so we have that great desire. So that is why we are going to the country of Mexico. So what exactly is the plan once we get there? Okay, so we're not just going to Cancun to enjoy the beaches. Okay, we're not just going for some tacos. Okay, so what exactly is the plan? Why are we going to Mexico? What's the plan? Okay, well, we're going to start out in Mexico City. Like you heard in the video, Mexico City is where there are these missionaries called Josue and Rebecca Ortiz. And they've been there now for going on their 10th year. And I'm not sure if anybody in here has ever heard of these missionaries, but they're doing a great work there. They also went to our alma mater, Pensacola Christian College, and that's kind of how I heard about them. But I've been following them along just through Facebook for many years now, just to see what God was doing. And once I realized that God was calling us there, got in contact with Josue and his wife and said, hey, I think I would like to come see the work there. And so we took our survey trip there last August, and we were blown away at the work that God is doing there in Mexico City. So the plan is to go to Mexico City. I'll first attend language school. I speak a little bit of Spanish, as I have now been learning for the past 5 years. but I'm definitely not fluent. So if you speak Spanish, I'd love to practice with you here this week, okay? And but I do have the best teacher, okay? That's my wife. So that was her first language. She learned Spanish when she went off to kindergarten. English when she went off to kindergarten. So Spanish was her first language, and that's about as good as it gets, okay? So right there. But I do want to attend language school just to sharpen up the grammar, and preaching in Spanish is a whole different thing than just having a basic conversation, and so that's the plan. I want to better understand church planting, to understand how to not being a novice and not going out in the field and just trying to just try all these, trial and error. No, we want to go out and honor the Lord by having a knowledge of the culture, of the place, the people, the language. And so training underneath Josue and Rebecca would be a great opportunity for the first couple years to figure out, okay, how can I better understand how to plant, to plant an indigenous church, that is a Mexican church. I'm not going there to start a bunch of American churches so that when I leave, it kind of just collapses underneath the missionary, but to start a church that's planted in that culture. And so that is the plan there in Mexico City. Hey, once we're ready to actually go out and begin planting churches ourselves, we then want to go to the place, is the state of San Luis Potosí. That is kind of northern central Mexico. And I'll show you here on the map. So San Luis Potosí, it's shaped like a dog. Okay, there's the Texas border there. It's about, 6 to 8 hours or so south of the Texas border. And so San Luis Potosí is the place where we would like to end up. We want to go there to where Karen's parents were born and raised. That is the city, Ciudad Valles. That is the valley city for those who don't speak Spanish. So Ciudad Valles, we'd love to go there. And it's a very strategic place. I'll share with you a little bit about the area. It's a city of about 179,000 people. And the reason there is such a need in this area is because there are many different villages around Ciudad Valles that still have a very dark light shining, if you will. There's hardly a light shining there for the gospel. And so Ciudad Valles is a great place to begin, as it is a medium city that we can begin there. And then slowly, as we plant churches and train up nationals to then go out into the little pueblitos, the little villages outside, and begin continuing to see the word of God spread, to see people come to know Christ, their lives changed, and then reproduce even more churches to continue to fulfill the Great Commission there. So see souls saved, disciple them, start churches, train national pastors. I wanted to share something really quickly about Ciudad Valles. I have a picture here. This is a shotgun-style building, so it's not very wide, maybe 15 feet wide, but it goes back probably, what would you say, over 100 feet. It's a really long property, and so this building that you see here in the picture, if you know anything about trying to obtain property in Mexico, as an American, it has its hoops you have to go through, and it can be very difficult to obtain property in Mexico as an American. And so what's really cool about this building, this is right in El Centro, that is right downtown Ciudad Valles. And so it's a prime property, and it is in Karen's family's name. And they're going to allow us to use this building, God willing, when we get there, to be able to start our church here. We already have the building, and it's rated to be able to build up to 3 floors. And so we can continue to build. There's so much potential there. You only see about probably a little bit less than half in the picture. That white wall that goes back, it extends more than twice that way back. And so much potential to be used. And so it's such a blessing that God has been going ahead of us and just kind of plowing the way. And as we're able to come along, once we get to see that Valles, to be able to use this property, to be able to meet together. And there's a bus stop right outside this property. So a lot of people coming in and out. And so we're so excited that God has provided this already to be able to be utilized. So that being said, in a nutshell, that is kind of what we're aiming to do. We're really excited because we have again, we've been waiting for this for a while, and but I want to encourage y'all with this. Whenever God calls you to something, it is really important that we prepare for what God has called us to do. And so these past 5 years, we've been in a season of preparation, going to seminary and establishing connections and building our marriage and just a time of preparation. And it's really important whenever God calls you to something to also don't forget, hey, it's okay if you're in a season of preparation, of sharpening the tools that God has given you. But don't just sit there. Get ready to go. And so that's what I'm excited that we're going to be able to hear from Dr. Sis during this missions conference is, hey, now it's time to go. Let's do something with the gospel. Let's not let it sit. We've only got this one life, so what are we going to do with it? And so there is that sense of urgency. Although we must prepare, although we must wait on God's timing, there is that sense of, hey, we've only got this one life. Life is like a vapor, so let's get out and let's do the Lord's work. And I don't know about you, I'm already getting fired up again for missions conference. And speaking with Pastor just a few minutes ago, he kind of fired us up and like this little huddle right before the game. And so I'm excited. I hope you'll stick with us throughout these next few days of the conference. As we have a couple mics around here, I would love to, we have about 11 or 12 minutes, I'd love to open it up to a time of question and answer. We're just starting deputation, so I definitely don't claim to know everything, okay? But if I get stumped, Karen's parents are actually back here, and they can help me if I misquote something or something like that. But hey, are there any questions? Yes, sir.
I know you spoke a little bit about a few years spending with Josue and Rebecca, but could you speak to us about the timeline that from this point forward, deputation, your target dates, time with them, and then how long you think it'll take before you get into San Luis?
Yeah, so since we just started deputation, this is our third week. We're really excited about that. So we're projecting hopefully about no longer than 2 years. So the summer of 2026 is when we would love to move to Mexico. And we'll start there in Mexico City. And we're thinking maybe about 2 years, give or take, to be there in Mexico City while I nail down the language and then learn from them. So 2 years deputation, maybe 2 years or so in the capital of Mexico, and then ready to move to San Luis Potosí to begin church planting there. So that's kind of the tentative. But you know, it's funny, as we make plans, God seems to have his way of unfolding things differently than we thought they would go. So that's the plans that we're praying over, and we'll see how God continues to guide. But any question over here? Did I answer that? Okay, awesome. All right.
Do you plan on staying in Texas for a while at deputation before you go outside the state?
Yeah, good question. So Florida is actually our home base. We'll talk about some of the needs later this evening, and I'm excited for that. You guys are such a generous church. But we are based out of Pensacola. Our sending church is on the campus of Pensacola Christian College. And so we bought an RV fixer-upper to be our home base. And so that way we don't have to, you know, buy hotels in the middle of weeks when we're in the middle of a conference or when we're not in a conference. So we'll drive back to Pensacola to stay there for a couple nights and then move on to the next church on that Sunday. So that's kind of how we're based. But since Karen's family does live here, if we have a couple other churches in town, we'll definitely stop by and stay for a couple days with them. So, yes, ma'am. And then was there a question right here? Okay.
The church that you're going to visit and train under, what size ministry do they have?
Yeah, what
and
size
ministry?
What
type of support they're going to give you?
Yeah, so the size of church, so this is a church plant. So Josue and Rebecca, they planted this church in Mexico City about 9 years ago. So they started just with one or two other families, and God has blessed. It's grown to, is it five or 600 people? It's been really blessed. They're up to three services now, so they couldn't fit. God provided a brand new building, beautiful new building that they built, and then they pretty much outgrew it on the first Sunday. So they went pretty soon right to three services. It's really cool to see how God has just lit that place on fire. And then out of Josue's work there, they've already sent out three churches planted in the area, and they're working on starting the fourth church. And so that is really cool to see. Yes, sir. Was there a question on this side or over here? Oh, yes, ma'am. Sorry. Right in front of me.
I wanted to know, how do you both deal with whenever, like you said, you have a plan for something, but then maybe part of it isn't working out.
Yeah.
So you kind of have that frenzy in your head, like, what's next? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. We've definitely faced that a few times. So I thought when I graduated seminary, back in 2022, I thought we were going to hit the road on deputation. I had already started scheduling churches, and we had several churches on the schedule, and PCC came to me and said, hey, would you be a rep for our college? And I was like, no, we're starting deputation, and no thanks. And they said, hey, why don't you just pray about it? I was like, okay, I'll pray about it. Well, lo and behold, God just opened up that door and directed our hearts there. And so the question is, well, well, these things that we don't see coming, are these like detours? Like, am I stepping away from what God's called me to do something else? And sometimes it can appear at first, and especially to other people. I had people reach out to me like, did you quit? You quit the ministry? Are you not going to Mexico anymore? And I'm like, hey, God has just directed over here. And it's been an awesome time of preparation. While I was with PCC, we got to come here. I was here last year with the singing group and made awesome connections. And I think that's maybe a big part of, I don't know why I'm here. I got to meet your awesome pastor. And so it was a great time of continuing to God just unfold things how we might not have thought they would work out. And so I think we see that with Paul in the book of Acts, especially Acts 16, is he wants to go here and the Holy Spirit says, you know, he had this plan and the Holy Spirit says, well, hey, over here. He didn't think that was going to happen, you know, and I think that happens a lot in our lives. So, yes, ma'am.
I have two questions. Can you show us some of your Spanish? And the second one is, are there any overall fears you have right now?
What was the first one? Show us your Spanish. What should I say?
I don't know. You choose.
Okay, I'll introduce myself. Okay. Yo soy... See, I have an English name, so it's hard to say Trey in Spanish. Trey, but nobody can really pronounce it. Okay, I need like Jorge or something. Okay, yo soy Trey, y soy de Fort Worth, Texas, y vamos a México para aprender más de iglesias, to learn more of churches, and I'll just quit there because, yeah, that's not sounding too good, but thank you. How did I do, Gomez family? Yeah? Okay, these are my in-laws, by the way. They're great. This is Nato. Este es Nato, mi suegro, my father-in-law, y mi suegra, Brenda. Okay, and then Brandon. Come on, stand up, brother. Come on. He's a little shy, and so they're great. Yes, and then what was that second question? I'm sorry. I got so nervous.
A fear that we have. Fears you have about this and things you're...
Oh, that's a good question, a fear that I have. In Spanish? No. oh, man. I don't know, a fear that I have. I'm going to be honest, I have not really thought of that. What was that, Karen? Can you think of anything? What's something that you're fearful for?
I guess right now, maybe a hurricane hitting our RV.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, yeah, our home base is in Florida, so there's RVs. I mean, there's hurricanes all the time, and so that's actually something we've thought about. I was thinking when we get to the field, but yeah, y'all pray for our little RV holding on by the last thread. I'm really scared because it rains like every day in Florida. So you know how, if you know what RVs are like, they'll be brand new and they'll get leaks. So, okay. Yes, ma'am, over here. Or did she have a mic? Okay.
Do you like spicy food?
Oh, I love spicy food. It doesn't like me as much, but I love spicy food. And so, yeah, I hopefully I'll fit right in. Maybe my stomach might have to adjust a little bit, but I love spicy food. Yes. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so Spanish is only a piece of the landscape. Are you fluent in Catholicism?
That's a good question. She said, am I fluent in Catholicism? So I have, if you didn't know, in Mexico, it used to be about 98% Catholic or so. It's a little bit less than that now, but Catholicism is the main thing that you'll run into. What I've learned is that Catholicism is not as much like it is here in the States with like Christianity. Everybody is like a Christian here in the States. You know, it's kind of the same in Mexico. Like everybody's a Catholic, but it's more than just it's not as much a religion as it is like, hey, this is my family. Like we are Catholic, and it's so tied to the culture and the family structure that it's very hard for Mexicans to leave Catholicism because they're like turning their backs on their families. And so I definitely have much more to learn about Catholicism, about, you know, their theology and what exactly. I was talking with this Catholic priest one time a few months ago, and it was crazy how I left the conversation like, wow, we're pretty similar in what we believe. It's like they can frame things to where they sound just like you. And so you do need to be, like she said, fluent. And okay, well, where do we differ? Because where we differ is... there's a chasm. There's a great difference. And so although you might talk to someone like, oh yeah, I believe in grace and through faith, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and they'll leave you scratching your head. It's like, wait a minute, did I have it wrong? But we've got to be so careful. Have different definitions. I might use some very similar. Their definitions are very different. So I have much to grow, I think, in learning more about Catholicism. But yes, ma'am.
I'm wondering, what type of salsa do you like?
I'm sorry?
What type of salsa?
Ooh, that's a good question. I like salsa roja with some serrano peppers. I like it a little spicy. Yeah. What's your favorite? I don't know.
I don't know.
You don't have a favorite? Okay. Good question. I love that question. Okay. Couple minutes left. Yes, sir, Brother Tony.
Have you traveled down to the state there already?
Yes. Oh, and I just saw this up here earlier. So this little story here during a visit with Karen's family in Mexico, that was in Ciudad Valles, where we would like to end up. Whenever Karen and I first got engaged, which happened kind of quick because like I just fell head over heels and I proposed. Okay, so we got to go with her family to Ciudad Valles, and I was there and I was doing my devotions one day sitting there in Mexico. And then all of a sudden I was like, you know what? I was like, if I'm going to be called here one day, like, I need to go share the gospel. And so I just randomly got up, and her family had no idea where I was. And I went to, like, this bus station that was just a few blocks away, and I found this guy sitting there. I was able to witness to him, and it was just the low-hanging fruit. He was searching, and I shared the gospel with him. I had to read it to him. Obviously, I didn't know any Spanish at that time. And so I read him a gospel tract, and he bowed his head and trusted Christ. But I have been down to Ciudad Valles there, what is it, three times now? Times. And so we are praying about, we would love to go back for Christmas, this Christmas, and then also to Mexico City the first couple weeks of January. So we've been to Mexico City once, Ciudad Valles twice. Yes, sir.
Does Karen still have family that's down there?
Yes, the majority of her extended family, her grandparents, all the tios and the primos, okay? So, yeah, they're all down there. Yes, sir.
And then one last question. If we were to go visit you down there, what would be the best way to get there?
The best way to get there would... By burro, she said. You got to ride a donkey. Definitely flying. There is an airport about 2 hours from Ciudad Valles, is in Tampico. If you go to Mexico City, they've got the airport right there. Although with traffic, it'll still take you an hour to get anywhere. But flying would be the best. The border is not very safe. So I definitely don't recommend you driving through that. But some people do, though. Karen's family, her whole life, she grew up driving down to Ciudad Valles, and they would spend all summers there and then their winter break, and so they're used to it, but not me, okay? So I'm going to have to learn how to get used to that. But thank you so much for the questions. I think that about wraps it up for us. But again, we have this table kind of tucked away over here. Please grab some prayer cards because I would love to stay connected with you. There is my phone number on the back of that. If you want our prayer letter every month, text your email address to that phone number. And I'll add it in our list, and you'll kind of get to stay updated with us. But grab one of those, please, and pray for us, and I look forward to getting to stay in touch with y'all.